News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Israel overnight has launched a retaliatory strike on Iran's central city of Isfahan, home to a major military airbase and nuclear facilities. We're joined for more on this by Scott Lucas, Professor of US and International Politics at the Clinton Institute and University College Dublin. Scott, what do we know about this strike against Iran?
So the Iranian state media, being fed information by the military, are saying that several explosions were heard, most of them above the city of Isfahan, which has about 2 million people in the center of the country. What's being said quietly, in many cases, by Israeli officials and American officials is that these are very limited strikes, that no Israeli missiles were used, only drones. And it is significant that Israel has hit military positions in this area in both 2021 and 2023. Specifically, they hit drone and missile workshops in those two operations, although they didn't claim responsibility in those cases. So the best estimate right now is that Israel's probably gone after, again, missile and drone facilities. And of course, Iran used those over the weekend in its own strikes on Israel. And this time, without officially claiming responsibility, They're letting everyone know it's them, which is, although any military operations are a concern, appears to try to draw a line, which is, okay, Iran, you hit us. Now we've hit you with demonstration strikes. Now we pull back from the military confrontation.
My understanding is that in the last hour or so, that Iran, a spokesperson for the Iranian government, has said they have no plans to retaliate.
Yes, and that's significant. Because in most cases, when Israel hits Iranian targets outside of Iran, for example, when they killed the Iranian commanders in Syria, which triggered this latest cycle, the immediate reaction, especially from the country's Revolutionary Guards, is chest thumping. We will get the Zionist enemy. We will remove them as a threat, et cetera, et cetera. This time, they're not doing that. They're playing down the attacks. And as you just noted, the government spokesman saying, you know, at this point, there's not going to be another cycle of violence.
It's obviously very early days yet, or very early hours on this Friday morning, and the attack has just happened. Does it seem as if, I mean, is it too simplistic to sum it up as Israel feeling they had to do something to save face, Iran realizing that, and both sides pulling back from the brink?
I think you summarized it better than I could. I'll explain why. The fact of the matter here is that I said when Iran hit Israel on Sunday that these were demonstration strikes. Now, that might sound strange because there were more than 320 Iranian missiles and drones that were fired. But Iran telegraphed those strikes. They let the United States know through Turkey and Switzerland that the attacks were going to take place. And the Americans, of course, let the Israelis know. That meant that air defenses were prepared where only no cruise missiles, no drones by Iran even got into Israeli territory, and only a few ballistic missiles hit an airbase, causing minor damage in a sparsely populated area. Iran, in other words, to use your phrase, wanted to save face after its commanders were killed on its embassy compound in Syria. Israel, well, they can't let the attack go unanswered. However, they're under pressure from the United States and others not to escalate this further. And I also think that the Israeli military and intelligence establishments don't want this war to spread across the Middle East. So now they save space. And now you go back to an indirect war. There will still be, I think, Israeli attacks on Iranian positions in Syria, albeit not on positions inside the embassy compound. I think you will see the Iranians continue to try to support, of course, Hamas, Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthis, all of whom are in fights with Israel. So we still have a serious situation, first and foremost with Israel in Gaza, but at this point, a direct Israel-Iran war doesn't appear to be one of the many conflicts that we have to watch.
Well, that is, I suppose, some small mercy. Just before I let you go, Scott, I mean, obviously, we still have the conflict in Gaza. Where are we at in relation to that in terms of a potential ceasefire? Are we still looking at this being a long, drawn-out war in Gaza?
I hate to swing from limited optimism to deep pessimism, but there is no possibility of a ceasefire at this point. To the contrary, I think we already have more than 34,000 dead inside Gaza. Israel has only made token efforts to allow aid to go into the country after its dispute a few weeks ago, following the killing of World Central Kitchen workers. And perhaps most importantly, I think part of this so-called saving face, at least for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, may be to go for the attack on Rafah, where up to 1.5 million of Gaza's 2.3 million civilians are trying to find shelter.
Scott Lucas, Professor of U.S. and International Politics at the Clinton Institute and University College Dublin, thank you for that update on events in the Middle East.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.